All right, Proverbs chapter 10. We're studying through the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, studying the book of John on Wednesday night. And, preacher, why we do that? Well, I think that's one of our biggest troubles of our churches today is the lack of knowing the Bible. People don't read their Bibles the way they should, and we're all probably guilty of that at times. But reading your Bible is one thing. Studying your Bible is another. And not that I'm an expert by no means, but we sure have, over the last several years, just seemed to really enjoy verse-by-verse type studying and getting to know what's, again, you'll never dig out what's in this book. I don't care how long the Lord allows me to preach. I'll never know it all until I get to heaven. But things that I do know, what just gives me a hunger to see if I can know something else. And I'll be honest with you, I get hit from time to time with questions I ain't got a clue. There's a lot of things in the Bible that I do not understand. I don't have a verse to run to. I'm not going to just give you an off-the-cuff answer and here's what I think. I try not to do that. I want to compare Scripture with Scripture. And it's a wonderful book. And it's a book that we need to just eat it and live it. And it never gets old. And we're going to, Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll start our study in John chapter 3. How many times have you read John chapter 3 in your life? How many times have you heard people preach out of John chapter 3? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. You'll never exhaust it. Never exhaust it. And I've enjoyed our study in the book of Proverbs because, and this makes people upset. I don't know why it makes people upset. It's just reality of the day that we're living in. And if Chloe was here, I'd let her tell us the problem with people is, you know, we live in a stupid day. People live off instead of living off the knowledge of the Word of God, they live off the knowledge of man. And you fail every time there. And, this book of Proverbs is, as we began our study, we're a third of the way through. The book of Proverbs is one of those books. You'll read a chapter every day. You read it in a month. But it's all about understanding that God wants us to have His knowledge, His wisdom. And, that's where we need to, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, you as whatever capacity as a young person, whatever it is, you need to realize that you need help. And to get that help, you must find it through the Word of God. And I was thinking this as I was sitting there praying, as I always do before I get up here. We're getting ready to start chapter 10. Chapter 1 through chapter 9 has been a cohesive type of study. It's bringing us into the knowledge of the need for that wisdom, and we've seen many times that talk of my son, as God is speaking to us as His children, and how we try to instruct, and we've seen that relationship there and the warnings of the strange woman that's trying to draw away the young man. And it's all about showing chapter 1 through chapter 9. It's all a cohesive type of teaching, showing the introduction side of this and also the need of wisdom and knowledge. When you come to chapter 10, chapter 10 begins something new in the book of Proverbs. And it's more of a verse, individual verses of nuggets. It's you'll read, you'll see it here as we read this. You'll read a verse and it's just a thought inside of a verse. And then you read another verse and it's another thought inside of a verse. It doesn't run all the way together verse by verse. It's individual nuggets of information. And they're actually, when you hear the word proverb, that's what you think of, are these little sayings, that mean something. And tonight we're going to look at probably, hopefully, chapter 10 verses 1 through 12. And dig out this verse by verse, these 12 nuggets that God shows us. And boy, we're going to end in verse 12. And verse 12 is the nugget of all nuggets tonight. And so we'll see that as we read. So if you can and you would, and I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in your pew to follow along with us. But if you can, you would, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this evening as we do read. Not what saith the preacher, but what saith the Word of God. And I was mentioning something that, as I lose track sometimes, but what I was praying about these little nuggets. I remember when I was in college, not Bible college, but secular school, engineering school. I remember one of our professors made this statement. And I thought, boy, I just, Lord, thank you for bringing that back to my mind. And this is what they told us in our engineering classes. A good engineer knows nothing. I thought, well, that's encouraging. I'm going to graduate and be an engineer. My mom and daddy's paying you a lot of money, and I'm going to know nothing. But this is what they said. The professor said, he said, a good engineer knows nothing, but he knows where to find it. You can't know everything. I remember when she was studying to be a nurse. My head hurt from all those words. It's like I can't even say this word, and you got to spell it. There's no way you can remember all that stuff. But you know where to find it when you do need to know it. And that is exactly what I believe we can see in this book of Proverbs. Is you can't remember all these little nuggets of wisdom. But when you have something come up in your life and you're seeking wisdom, you know where to find it. So that's the purpose of our studying tonight. So let's look here, chapter 10, verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. These are actual Proverbs of Solomon. Again, the book of Proverbs is not all Solomon. This portion here is Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon. Here's the first one. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasure of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but casteth away the substance of the wicked. See, it doesn't flow. There's no cohesiveness to these wordings. It's just every verse is another nugget. Verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that pervert his ways shall be known. Verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, God, for the honor just to be in this place and be around your children and around the Word of God. But, Lord, I want to thank you for your presence. God, you sure have been good to us today. Lord, you're good to us every day. But Lord, you sure have given us a special day, I feel. It's just been a blessing to be around your spirit and through your spirit today. And God, I ask you for the next little bit, God, Lord, would you sharpen us tonight? God, we're all going to be heading out into a wicked world here in just a little bit. God, we're going to be facing the workplace. We're going to be facing people this week that are vile and ungodly. But God, I pray tonight through your word that you'll sharpen us, Lord, that we'll be able to stand in these days, God, in order to be that light, be that salt. God, help us to understand we sure need your wisdom and your knowledge in these days. And God, we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all you do here this evening, Lord, for it's in your precious name. I do pray and I do ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, we are just going to go down through these verses as quick as we can, point out these truths. And hopefully learn something as we go. Verse number 1. Did anybody notice in reading, and I did read a little fast, probably shouldn't have read that fast, but did anybody notice a rhythm? Did you notice a the way each verse, there's a similarity in there? There's a word there that God puts in there. What is it? But. Every one of these nuggets you'll find usually the negative first. And thank God he didn't leave it there. He says, yeah, this is true. And then he'll give us the but. So I hope you'll see that as we go down through there. Let's look at the very first one, verse number one, the Proverbs of Solomon. Here's his first one. He tells here, a wise son. And I want to ask you tonight, don't you want to be wise? Don't you? I mean, I'm not talking about worldly wisdom. And there's nothing wrong with schooling. There's nothing wrong. I've got an education of some sort of something. I got some paper somewhere that says I graduated from college somewhere. And, you know, as I used to tell my boss, man, I could teach a monkey to write, I believe. So, you know, it's not that impressive to say I got a piece of paper that some man signed says, hey, you graduated. Nowadays, you can get it all in the mail. So it doesn't mean that much to me anymore. But a wise son. And youngins, and again, us older people, we're on the flip side of this thing. We're heading down the hill. You young people, I hope, and I'm thankful. Boy, I was listening as our young folks were practicing this afternoon, done a wonderful job. I'm glad we still got some young people that want to be used of God, that are starting to step up to the plate and say, I'll fill in that place in the gap. And I'm thankful. That means us old people. That means we're quitting. We just need to keep going. Amen. But it is good to see our young people but doing something. But it says a wise son. What does a wise son do? He maketh a glad father. A wise son maketh a glad father. And is that not true? You know, I the day that we live in, and it is sad that, and again, I've rooted for my children over the years as they've played sports along the way, but I would a whole lot rather know that my children are saved and loving God and serving God than see them hit a ball. It makes me glad. And that's what the Bible says here, that a wise son maketh a glad father. And daddies tonight, that ought to be what we can tell our children, that if, you know, if nothing else, you might not be able to hit that ball. You might not be able to catch that ball. But son, the best thing you ever do is serve the Lord. That's what our youngins need to hear, because it's true. But the Bible tells us in this Proverbs that a wise son will make his father glad. The Bible gives a New Testament version of that in 3 John chapter 1, verse number 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's nothing that brings the heart of a daddy and Brother Shannon's back there, you know, brother, there's nothing any better than to see you youngins get saved. That's to me is one of the highlights of your life, is to realize that my child is going to go to heaven when it dies. And that's what God is showing us in this wisdom, that a wise son, a person, young person, the best thing you ever do is just love God and serve Him. And I wonder if we can say that this evening. But the flip side of that is, again, it says a wise son maketh a glad father. Then it says, but. And this is, you know, a lot of them run the other way. It gives a negative first. Here, this one, give the positive first. But a foolish son, I don't want to be a foolish one. The Bible says a fool says there's no God. Don't be foolish. There is a God. And you're accountable to that God. And you're going to stand before that God. But a wise son makes the father glad, but a foolish son, the opposite, is the heaviness of his mother. As much as it is that for a daddy to realize that his children are saved and on their way to heaven, some of us tonight feel the heaviness of a child that's lost and on their way to hell. The Bible here in this great truth here says that a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And I've seen many of mamas, and I believe we're losing this in our day. But I have seen, and I know there's still some out there, and some of you might be in that place now. But that child, mama, that one that you held, as Seth is holding our little grandbaby here this evening, that baby mama that you birthed into this world, that you watched it take its first breath, that you actually felt it inside your womb. You nursed that child. You loved that child. You put your life into that child. And when that child gets to the place where it becomes foolish, how it breaks your heart. I've seen mamas weep and weep and lay on the altar, prostrate before God, crying out because of a child that's gone to the world. a foolish son. It's not just a shame, but it's heaviness. I wonder, young person, and I'm guilty, as I was young one time, do you realize how many times you have brought hurt to your family? I do. I feel like many times, as I, especially when my children were born, all the heartaches that I had caused my daddy or my mama because of my foolishness. And hearing this great truth, it shows again that that foolishness does put a heaviness upon your mama. Well, mama, everybody else is out at midnight. No, you're going to be home at such and such a time. And when you don't show up, you don't realize the hurt and the heaviness that you put upon mama. Also, I believe there's a truth here this evening, and I can't say a whole lot about it because I don't really know all the understanding maybe of it. But I wonder why God chose these statements as He speaks of the first part here, as we see here a wise son, and He speaks to the father. It makes a glad father. But then He talks of a foolish son and how it brings heaviness to the mother. I can't help but think maybe it's because of the difference how God has made a man and a woman. A man many times, and I have to say this, as a daddy sometimes we get calloused. Many times we'll say, son, if that's the way you're going to be, just be that way and walk off from them. Where mama won't cut that tie. Mama will hold on and mama will take it with her to the grave even. And she carries that heaviness where many times a husband or a man will get cold and indifferent over those things. I believe that's the reason God said that that woman, and I don't say this, ladies, in a bad way. This is, God made you this way. God made you a weaker vessel. You have that feeling that many times men do not have. You have an instinct that many times that men don't have. But I believe with that, ladies, tonight, it puts that responsibility in you to pray because of that heaviness. You've got a burden over those youngins. A lot of times us daddies get so busy in life that we lose that sight. So we see here in the Proverbs number 1 here of chapter 10, a truth of a wise son and a foolish son. Verse 2, the Bible here goes to the next truth. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Is that not so true? Now, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with God giving you a talent that you can go earn a living. And God has taken and used people and blessed them because they're willing to take that money that God allows them to have and turn it right around and just be a conduit to put it right back into the work of God. Again, it's not because of the money, but it's because of what? You know, everybody says, well, the root of evil is, you know, is that money. It's not the money. It's the love of the money. There's nothing wrong with having money, but treasures of wickedness profit nothing. These things of this world, they'll profit you exactly that. Nothing. The Bible says it like this in Mark chapter 8, in verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I think back, and again, I know these don't basically go together, but I can't help but think again back to verse number 1 of a foolish child and a wise one. And I can't help but think of how many times we as parents push our children to go get a career so they can make a lot of money. When we ought to ask God, Lord, I just want your will on that child's life. If they're digging ditches but they're loving God, that's what I want them to do. Well, I don't want my child to be a missionary, Brother Rick. Why wouldn't you want that child to be a missionary? If that's what God wants them to be. The treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Psalms 49, verse 6 through 7 says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, the Bible says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for Him. Again, it's not money. It's not the money is the issue. It's about the desire and the lust of, that's all I gotta have. It profits nothing. Here's that verse I mentioned, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money, it's the love. I want to love Jesus. Why? Because He loves me. And God meets, we've heard over and over today, and it just seems like it's been one of those days about how good God is to us. He's good to me if I got something to eat, and He's good to me if I ain't got something to eat. He's just good to me. Mark chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says, and the disciples were astonished at His words, but Jesus answered again, saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He says it this way, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. See, the wickedness, as the verse says, he says, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Remember the rich young ruler that came to the Lord? He had everything. Or what do I have to do? I've kept the commandments. And the Lord says, sell all you have and follow me. And the Bible says he turned and walked away. Why? He loved his riches more than he loved God. We just sung about heaven some. They played that song, God's building me a mansion. I don't know what that means. When, you know, people say a mansion. That's like down here on So-So Street down here. That's mansions down there. This isn't that teaching tonight, but let me throw it out there. Do you think you're going to live in a house in heaven? Why would you? When we talk of that building, a mansion, God's making a place for me, a new body. We're not going to have a golden commode seat. You're going to walk on a street of pure gold. It's not about that kind of wealth. And what God's given us is so much greater. Let's notice again the verse, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, here's the word, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivers from death. Whose righteousness? Not mine. The Bible says my righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Let us help us, Romans chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When I believe Christ, I get His righteousness. And righteousness in this truth delivers from death. It's found only through the Lord. Verse 3. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. Me and my wife sometimes bumps heads on this. I'm a little different than her on some things when it comes to this. I like to think ahead a little bit. As I mentioned, as a helper. And listen to me. If you're helping somebody, you need to be a help. But David, isn't a helper better to you when he's thinking ahead of what you're going to need next? If I have to tell him every time what I need, he's not helping me too much. And that's what this truth is saying here about thinking ahead, planning ahead. We ought to think ahead a little bit is what he's saying. He says the Lord will, did I skip one? I skipped a lot, didn't he? Well, I'm getting done. I thought, that don't go with my notes. Why didn't somebody say, hey, dummy? My wife was saying, hey, dummy. I missed a good one, too. Let's back up. Verse 3. You think I'd follow my notes, don't you? Verse 3. the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Again, God's been good to us. Let me say this, though. And listen, we got some men in here that preach and you teach. I've heard men say this, and if you said this, I'm not pointing you out. I'm just saying, let's think about what we say as we preach and teach. And I know the Bible says, you know, never seen the righteous forsaken or the hungry begging for bread. I know a lot of people that's died that loved God because they didn't have any food. There's people all over this world tonight that love God and have nothing. They're starving. Is that what that verse means? If I love God, I'll always have something? That's how a lot of people take that verse. Let's look at it again. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. What did he say? The soul. This old body, it famishes from time to time. This old body, now in our American day, we don't famish too much, but there is people that love God and don't have nothing. But I can say this evening, there's a truth to what God just says. My soul will never famish. He's a well of living water that will never run dry. He'll constantly feed my soul. And that's what the verse says. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casts away the substance of the wicked. God can just go, and it's gone. Verse number 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Pet peeve right here. I hate laziness. And guess what? I believe God does too. What does the verse say? He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. You don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's Bible. Well, preacher, I just ain't got... Get a job. Go pick up cans. There's ways to make money. I've made this statement, and it's true, best of my knowledge. I've only had one person ever stop at this church begging that did what they said they would really do. Had a man one day, we were sitting in the office doing some things. I don't remember what I was doing. Had a man come to the door. I ain't got this. I need this. He says, I do have my... He says, I'll clean your windows if you can just give me a little bit of money. You know what he did? He cleaned every window in this church, cleaned my window in my car, and I paid him. Drive by the guy down here on the corner. We'll work for food and say, hop in the back of the truck. I want to dig some fence posts. Right. Oh, I don't want to do that. Right. He don't want to work for food. He wants a handout. Right. Now, again, we all have hard days. I've been helped many times along the way. I've had people walk up, they didn't know a thing, and slip a little money in my hand. God met needs. Sometimes in my life, as I worked in public work, God knew we had a need. You know what God allowed me to do? Overtime. Well, God, I'd rather have the check in the mail. But what is he saying in this wisdom of God? He tells us that he becometh poor that deal with a slack hand. But notice the opposite, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Be busy. It's not good for a man to be idle. Usually a man that's idle finds wickedness. It's the truth. Hey, here's verse 5. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. Make plans. Winter's coming. Then verse 5, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. Again, laziness. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. It pays to do right. It's not always easy to do right, but it pays to do right. Verse 7. This is a good one, I believe. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. What lie will the preacher say when they roll your body in front of a group of people at your funeral? Probably some of the most lied out of the pulpits at funerals. You can ask her after service. We were at a funeral one time at a Methodist church. I wasn't preaching. A friend of mine's grandma passed away. And we were at that funeral. We got there a little late. And we sat down back there. And that whatever he was got up there and began talking. And we looked at each other and I thought, I think we're in the wrong place. I knew the woman that was in that casket. She was a woman. She could outcuss most men. That's who she was. That was her testimony. Everybody in Harmony knew. That woman was wicked. She cursed. It was just like breathing to her. That guy got up there and talked to what a godly lady she was. I was thinking, I want to get up and go look in the casket and make sure I was at the right place. But back to the truth. What does the verse say? The memory of the just is blessed. Brother Clark mentioned my hero this morning, Brother Roloff. His memory continues on. I believe that's the mark of a good man, and the work of a good man is, it goes on. What will be your testimony when you're gone? Will you have a testimony? How will people remember you? That's what the verse is about. The memory of the just is blessed. Psalms 112, verse 6 says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Ecclesiastes 8:10 says, and so I saw the wicked buried and had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done this. It's also vanity. The Bible says there that the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. If you go over to the book of Judges, we won't take time to go there. There's a few judges, again, they're in the Bible. But all we know about those men is they were born and they died. That's all we know. They didn't have any type of influence that we know of. Again, what kind of testimony are you building? Hopefully a good one. Verse number 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments. A wise person will receive. Do you take counsel well? Are you hard-hearted and stiff-necked and you don't receive the commandments of God? Notice the wording. The wise in heart, not the foolish, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. I know some men that I've told before, I believe wisdom. Not that it was my wisdom, I gave them the Bible. You know what they said? I don't care, I'm going to do it my way. And you know what I watched? I watched them fall. I don't brag on that. I just know the truth of what God has said here. The wise in heart will receive commandment. Verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. You ever heard the old saying, give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves? I've learned. I've been fooled a lot of times in my life. But I've learned that you watch a person long enough, their trueness will come out. And I've watched men and women over the years in the ministry, their trueness came out. They showed who they really were. And they sure didn't love God. It'll come out, and that's what that verse is about. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. It'll come out what you are. Verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. And verse 10 is one of those, it's hard really to see what he's saying, but I think what we can get out of that, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. You know, there's people that just love to cause problems. They sit back and that's all they are, is nothing but a troublemaker. They're looking for somehow to cause a problem all the time. And I believe that's what we see here in verse number 10. Verse number 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Brother Clark mentioned a little bit about the tongue this morning for a little bit. What comes out of your mouth? Out of the heart. What happens? Yes, sir. The mouth speaketh. What comes out of your mouth? I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying there's problems. How can you say, oh, how I love Jesus, turn around the next day and start cursing? How can you open your mouth and sing Amazing Grace, turn around and open your mouth and start singing about a beer joint? What comes out of your mouth? That's what that verse is talking about. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Do you speak things that bring life? Or does your speak bring death? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. I like being around that kind of people. I'll be honest with you, again, been fooled many a times. I never used to hang around a lot of preachers. I hung around my grandpa most of my life. I got saved. God called me to preach. Started going to every preaching thing I could go to. Started hanging around preachers. I don't recommend that, Brother Rick. Probably not a good thing. I'll tell you this, though. As a young preacher, my ears were perked up and awakened as I listened to preachers talk. Just thinking, I don't think I'd have said that. What are y'all talking about? I know we're just men. But I want my speech, I want my mouth as I speak. Well, nobody heard. I heard. As my wife was fussing at us, most we always tried to keep that away from our children. Ain't that right? No, that's true. Y'all fuss, don't y'all? I had a man and woman, they'd been married 50-some years at Taylor's when I passed up there. I think I've said this before. That man looked at me and said, we've never had a fight. It was all I could do, say, liar. Say, you've been married 50 years, never had a fight. Something's wrong. No, we've had our squabbles. Not today, have we? We're still good, aren't we? We still got time. But I'm sure our daughters heard us say things that I wish she hadn't heard us say. But I want to guard what people hear come out of my lips. I don't want to frustrate the gospel. And then the best of all, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife. Ain't that the truth? Hatred stirreth up strife. And then the kicker of it, but love covereth all sins. I don't have time to deal with all this. We got to go, but I want to give you the basis of that truth. There's only one payment for sin. And what is that? The blood of Jesus Christ. But does that not show forth the love of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That love covereth all sins. But I can't die. I can't be that sacrifice. So what's that got to do with me? Hatred, the Bible says there, stirreth up strife. My wife knows me a whole lot better than y'all will ever know me. She knows I like to pick, and sometimes I take things a little farther than I should take them. Sometimes I don't want to let up. I just keep pushing buttons. But you know, if me and Brother Tony had a falling out, if he said something that I didn't like or he did something that I didn't like, I could hate him. And it would keep that stirred up. I know people in churches that for 100,000 years ain't talked because he took my seat. He parked in my place. Whatever it might be. Yep. And that constant hatred. But you know what? If I really have the love of Christ in me, even though he did something that hurt me, something that I didn't like, something that was wrong. That's what people come to me, preacher, they were wrong. Well, yeah, they were wrong, but what are we going to do? I could keep a hatred spirit and it hurts everybody. Or because I have the love of Christ in me, don't you think Christ got hurt? As they spit upon His face. Don't you think Christ got hurt as they took that whip and beat Him? Don't you think it hurt Christ as those that He knew He loved mocked Him? It hurt me. Hurt me to the bone. But love ought to be able to overlook that hurt. Did it hurt? Oh, yeah, it hurt. But if I will let love do what love does, it'll cover that up. I'm just going to keep loving Him, and I'm going to keep praying over it, and I'm going to keep asking God to fix it. That's what God is showing forth there. And again, the greatest example of that verse, of course, is the love of Christ. One of the biggest things that destroy churches is when somebody gets hurt inside that church and they begin to tear down. Why don't you just love people? I'll be carnal and then I'm quitting. Sometimes somebody will say something to me that I don't like. Now, I probably don't mean it as much as I say I'm meaning it, but I hope that I really do mean it. I'll just look at them and love, look at them and smile and says, God loves you. It tears people out of the saddle if you don't fight with them. They're wanting to fight. And when you don't want to fight, it bothers them. Why? Because love covereth all sins. Let's just love one another. Guess what? Let me go ahead and tell you, get over it. I'm going to mess up. If you're going to tell me something, then I'm going to forget all about it. I only have a bunch of people telling me stuff. I'm going to say something you don't like. Just love me. If you want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. Talk to the Lord about it. We're good. I put my big britches on today. I'm all right. I'm not going to go home. They were so mean to me today, Mommy. She has to put me up there and burp me and console me. And but we've all acted that way sometimes, haven't we? Come on. Don't sit there with your halos on. I've got an emergency box of passies back there for... No, I'm kidding. I don't. But that's how we act sometimes. We get our feelings hurt. We don't get our way and we just blow up. Remember, love covereth all sins. But they don't love me. God didn't say they had to love you. He said you need to love them. It takes a bigger person to love than it does to hate. It's easy to hate. Ask my wife. She gets it tough. Can you imagine being married to me? 28 years. It's October. Bless her heart. All right. This nuggets, man. Read them. Study them. Every one of them's. You might not be in that place tonight, but there'll be a time you'll need that verse. Run to the book. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight.